Without further ado, this is Brian Daly, whose firm we are graciously in.
Thank you very much for showing up today. Bigger crowd than we've had here, but we've had a number of press conferences in the past. I'm attorney Brian Daly. I'm the founder of the Daly Law Firm, and I have been representing people in the state of Michigan for about 27 years. I do a radio show on News Talk 760 WJR called The Law Show, and so we're here to do the same thing that we do for those people. For Mr. and Mrs. Klein, Josh and Laura. As you know, he's been the center of a lot of attention in relation with the Courser and Gamrat matter. He is here to tell you the truth, the rest of the story as he knows it. Without further ado, I give you Josh Klein.
Good afternoon. As I'm sure you're aware, my name is Joshua Klein, and I was a staffer in the office of Representative Todd Courser and Representative Cindy Gamrat. We've now heard from Representative Gamrat and Representative Courser. I am here to set the record straight, to recount my observations while working in the offices of Representatives Gamrat and Courser as their staffer. I reside in Lapeer County, the district occupied by Representative Courser. I had a close personal friendship with Mr. Courser predating his election to the Michigan State House. As a result, it was my view that I was more than just a legislative staffer. I felt and still feel a great love for my home district of Lapeer. Although Todd Courser is the elected representative, I always considered that I had a strong moral obligation to the people of Lapeer County. I still feel a strong obligation for the privilege I was given to serve my district as an unelected staffer in Representative Courser's office. From the bottom of my heart, I feel the same obligation to all the people of the state of Michigan. From my first day in office, Mr. Courser adopted a rather disrespectful and almost haughty approach with me and other staffers. His attitude became ever more elitist and arrogant. The most poignant example I can remember or recall happened at a staff meeting in early January, where Mr. Courser told us his staff, "Let's get it straight, boys. We're not here to pass legislation. We're here for messaging moments in media." Over the next few months, you never knew which version of Todd Courser you were going to get on any given day. It was like working for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He kept us at bay as to which Representative Courser he would present with rapid cycling from day to day. I always wondered whom he was going to be. Would he be nice and respectful or abusive? Would he berate or belittle me, or would he praise me or elevate me? I cringed with each email notification, not knowing which representative wrote the email. Was it Jekyll or Hyde? I was shocked. This came right out of the blue. It was totally unexpected in the view of the close personal relationship that both Representative Courser and I had previously enjoyed. After a while, both Representative Courser and Representative Gamrat showed a complete disrespect for me and other staffers' time and resources. Upon the point that I felt compelled to resign, I calculated that Representatives Courser and Gamrat had canceled or rescheduled over half of their meetings. They jointly imposed a rule that all meetings were to be attended by both representatives unless it was a constituent from their district. Curiously, Mr. Courser, on occasion, attended meetings with Representative Gamrat's constituents. I recall one particular meeting with the lobbyist that was scheduled. They were late, and the lobbyist was there waiting when they arrived. Representatives Courser and Gamrat arrived and went into Representative Gamrat's back office. They did not come out for approximately 1 hour. And by that time, the lobbyist had left. Representatives Courser and Gamrat would routinely disappear for hours at a time, especially on Thursdays after session, and then ask us to then go get them dinner. They spent an inordinate amount of time going for walks with each other during the day. They frequently greeted each other with what appeared to be long, romantic, highly personal hugs and embraces. Mr. Courser would often nap on Representative Gamrat's office floor. Upon seeing him, Representative Gamrat would tuck him in with a pillow and a blanket. Rep. Courser was frequently out of his office. On those occasions, we had to mostly work out of Gamrat's office and do Courser's work there. Representative Courser often openly told Rep. Gamrat how beautiful she was, or how nice she looked that day. It was excessively personal and quite awkward to witness. Rapidly, I began to suspect that Representative Corser and Representative Gamrat were having an inappropriate physical relationship. In January, I mentioned to the representatives Corser and Gamrat at a late night staff meeting my concerns, and I suggested that they should adopt and enforce professional and personal boundaries. They quickly dismissed my concerns and impressed upon me that as a mere staffer, such a suggestion was not my place. The stress was immense. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I was worried about my job and my ability to support my family. I was also concerned about preserving my integrity, the cost that would be imposed upon me in that effort. Would I lose my job, my good reputation, and the ability to continue my chosen career of public service? I was unable to get a good night's rest. I was constantly on edge and began to feel increasing anxiety. I brought my concerns to the attention of members of the Speaker's office, but I felt that there was no relief forthcoming. It is not an easy task to choose integrity over a paycheck to support my family. After confiding with my wonderful wife and my pastor, I chose to preserve my integrity, and the only way in which I could do that was to resign, effective immediately. I had no backup plan and no job to support my family. I thank God every day for an amazing and supportive wife who's been with me through this all. Now, having chosen integrity over continued employment in a hostile and untenable work environment in which I was required to turn a blind eye to unethical behavior by the offices of Representative Corser and Representative Gamrat, I am confident that I did the right thing. It is my sincere hope that I can help the people and the Michigan legislature. I respect and revere the state legislative branch. I hope to help them discover all of the details of this unfortunate circumstance and bring closure to this once and for all.
Thank you very much. We'll take a few questions, and at this point, I'll turn it over to Mr. Pugh.
Chad Livengood from the news.
Josh, did you ever send any text messages anonymously from a 313 phone number to Todd Corser over the period of January through last week?
Absolutely not.
Kathy Gray with the Free Press.
And when did you think that this relationship with Corser and Gamrat was going on before they got into office?
I couldn't characterize whether it was or wasn't going on before the office. I just recognized the signs as soon as he took office, or as soon as we started in January.
Mara McDonald.
Josh, so the urban legend surrounding this is the confrontation at the Radisson with Corser, Gamrat's husband, and that the police were called.
Yes.
Is this an urban legend, or is this true?
It's not an urban legend. The morning, I believe, of February 11th, whatever that Wednesday night into Thursday is, I received a call on my way to work from Joe Gamrat, which would be Cindy Gamrat's husband. And he had told me, just a warning, that you're going to be in for a very bad day. And he said, he let me know that he had saw Todd and Cindy staying late in their legislative offices till late in the night. And he called to say that he had been seeing Todd and Cindy, and that he saw Cindy leave Todd's hotel room at approximately 2 a.m. in the morning. And when we arrived that morning at work, Cindy was a little bit late. She arrived disheveled, and she smelled of alcohol. And Representative Corser arrived a little bit later. I don't remember exactly what time. I can't recall. He spent most of the day leaning on the cabinets in Representative Gamrat's office. He was very distraught, despondent, very quiet. They spent a lot of time in their back office that day. At the end of the day, we had a staff meeting scheduled for around 2:30. As me and my other staffers waited in the room, waiting for the staff meeting, it was 2.5 hours to 3 hours later, about 5 to 5:30, I get a text from Todd saying, hey, can you go cover that Farm Bureau event in Lapeer for me? I'm not going to be coming out. And so at that point, I just left. We never had a staff meeting that day. And without some prior warning, probably just wouldn't have been another weird day in the Corser Gamrat office.
Kyle Mullen.
Josh, can you tell me if Representative Corser or Representative Gamrat ever asked you to do anything on state time or state resources that you felt was improper given the state's business?
Given that I haven't testified yet with the House Business Office, I'm just going to refrain from giving any information at this time.
Jeff Carrillo.
Thanks. When you quit, did you do an exit interview with the House Business Office and or the Speaker's Office? And if you did, did you tell them of the affair or your concerns?
I'm not going to comment on the specifics of the conversation I had with the Speaker's Office or an exit interview at this time. You know, we still have an investigation and hearings that will be coming forward. So it is knowledge that I spoke mm-hmm. with the Speaker's Office, and it was in my statement that I spoke with them.
John Hewitt.
These two lawmakers obviously have been very active in trying to legislate marriage in Michigan. I'm curious, with the developments in this situation, what many may see as an outright hypocrisy involved. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I wasn't in office or working for them when he did his marriage bill, though he did ask me to go to the Legislative Services Bureau and draft a bill on that. I think I probably share the same sentiment as most people, that marriage is between man, they say it's a marriage between man and woman, and you have marriage vows, and you should stick to them, and it does reek of hypocrisy, and I think I'm with the rest of most of the public that views that the same way.
I'm going to wrap it up, folks. Thank you for coming out today.